Today's Holy Gospel is a part of what is known as Jesus' Olivet Discourse. That takes place just days before his arrest and crucifixion. And indeed, it does speak of the end times, but that topic comes later, comes after what we heard today from today's Holy Gospel. Jesus is preaching after having left the temple. He is preaching to his disciples on the Mount of Olives, hence the Olivet Discourse. He uses the term, the abomination that causes desolation. Well, this is a direct reference to the prophet Daniel and the reading that Jay so beautifully did for us this morning from Daniel 12, verse 11. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. So just what is the abomination that causes desolation? Well, let me explain. About 167 years before Jesus was born, an absolutely terrible thing happened in Jerusalem, to the temple and to Jerusalem. There was a Seleucid Syrian king who, through Hellenistic or Greek influence, named Antiochus IV Epiphanes. This evil man took over Jerusalem and explicitly desecrated the temple, the center of the life of the Jewish people. Antiochus set up an altar to Zeus right inside the temple, the second temple in Jerusalem. And this was in direct violation of the second commandment that God spoke to Moses in Exodus 20, verse 4. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. Now, to make things worse, he sacrificed swine on the altar in the temple. As many of you know, it was forbidden by the law of Moses for Jews to be even near pigs, let alone sacrifice this unclean beast to God or sacrifice to someone else's God. Well, the problem was that this king thought he was God and he could do just what he wanted. And FYI, there are detailed accounts of this happening in 1st and 2nd Maccabees, which is a book of the Apocrypha, one of 15 books that we do not consider to be a part of the Bible but are historical. And they are full of historical information. It was during this horrible time in Jerusalem that the resulting revolts by the Jews became the basis for the Feast of Hanukkah and the miracle of the oil for the lamps in the temple that lasted. They only had enough that could last an hour or so, and it lasted a full 7 days because it takes 7 days to make new oil from the olives for burning in the lamps. Well, this evil king Antiochus caused such pain and destruction in Jerusalem, and the people saw the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy, the abomination that causes desolation. And Jesus used this term in his Olivet Discourse to warn the disciples of another event, one that would happen in 70 AD, when the Romans would destroy Jerusalem and, of course, the temple. These words from just before the words that Jesus spoke in today's Holy Gospel. I'm going to ask you to turn to your pew Bibles to page 1580. That's the red book in your pews, page 1580. It's Mark chapter 13. And we'll look at verses 1 and 2. It's under the heading, The Destruction of the Temple and Signs of the End Times. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." "Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." Jesus, having just left the temple for what is probably the very last time in his life, prophesied from that time forward. About 40 years later, The temple would cease to exist, and Jews would be running for their lives from Jerusalem. Jesus pretty clearly says that it would be horrible to be pregnant or to be a nursing mother at that time, and you should take and run. Having this in mind, he tells his followers not to panic, that the end of days is not going to be then, it will come later. And so he adds the prophecy to his second coming later in the discourse. The term abomination that causes desolation was fresh in the minds and hearts of every Jew and brought fear to their hearts that something like that could ever possibly happen again. What Jesus said about the stones being strewn down, if you need proof, all you do need to do is take a walk by the southern steps of the temple, or the Temple Mount, which are easily seen from the Mount of Olives, and nearby there are large blocks of what used to be a part of the Western Wall. It's amazing. They found, while they were excavating, to find a street that was a part of the city from Jesus' time that was buried in this rubble. The temple and the city of Jerusalem would never be the same. They were demolished just as Jesus had predicted, as he had foretold. The Jews would now need to reconstruct their lives no longer around the temple, but around the law. Jesus had warnings that are meant to encourage the hearers and readers, especially his followers, to stay close to the faith and to continue to share the truth, not being swayed by false prophets and false messiahs. A very important phrase that Jesus uses near the end of today's reading is found on verses 22 and 23. If you'll look there, please, on page 1581, Jesus says, "For false Christs, messiahs, and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time." Jesus uses a word that might seem kind of strange, the elect. Now let me clarify that for you. Jesus spoke in John 15, 16. He said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." Jesus is referring to the people that he called the elect, and for them to continue in the faith and not to trust false ones who proclaim to be a Christ or a Messiah, which means, by the way, an anointed one. For he has given the encouragement to trust him and not anyone who falsely claims to be him or to be working for him. I ask you to please remember that the risen Jesus will add encouragement to his disciples right after he gives what is called the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, when he says, "Surely I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age." The promise to never leave or forsake his followers has to be kept close to the heart, no matter what. No matter what means trusting in him during days like 9/11 or the tragedy that took place in Paris just this past Friday night. The sad truth, my friends, is that evil prowls around like a roaring lion, trying to sweep from its path any infidels who believe differently than they do. I personally believe that this terrorist movement called ISIS or ISIL is straight out of hell, beheading Christians, taking down airliners, and methodically attacking a Parisian neighborhood, simultaneously having suicide bombers at 6 sites in Paris, armed with explosives and machine guns at a soccer match, a concert, and restaurants, cowardly preying on innocent victims. My friends, this is not a godly venture. It's not from a religion of peace. It is evil, pure evil that hides behind this movement, slinking into European countries as false refugees and one day will be judged by Almighty God, but in the meantime must be dealt with. And so I ask you to pray for the people of Paris, whose country has not seen such devastation since the days of World War II, and whose borders are now effectively closed. Pray that the light of Christ would shine on this so-called movement and reveal the true evil that it is, and give countries the wisdom to carefully screen these refugees to make sure that they are not soldiers lying in wait to do damage in these countries that unknowingly take them in and give them refuge. At least one of these terrorists that's been found was a refugee who registered in Greece in October and then made his way into Paris. This is also, my friends, an abomination that causes desolation. Pray for the world, and especially its leaders, to see before it is too late the truth behind ISIS, before it does more killing and destruction. Now, with all the bad news, there must be some good, right? I told you that Jesus gave the apostles a glimpse of his second coming. In the verse immediately following today's Holy Gospel in Mark chapter 13, verses 26 and 27, on the bottom of page 1581, Jesus says, "At that time people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect," there's that word again, "from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven." Jesus promises that there will be a time coming when he will return, and everyone will know that it is him, and he will gather those to whom he has called to himself. And he also gives us some great encouragement in verse 31. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Instead of our worrying about when the end will come, we need to stay close to his words, the word of God, to watch and be alert. And I truly feel that the message that we can take from this 13th chapter of Mark is that when disasters happen, we're to be encouraged that this is not the end. This is a great time for people, God's people, to reach out to the victims and show them the way to God, the truth that is only found in Jesus Christ, and the promise of salvation that comes in his name only. It's not the name of any other God. When Moses asked the burning bush what his name was, he responded, "I am who I am. That is what you say to the Israelites. I am has sent you." Exodus 3:14. There is no other God that goes by that holy name. Not Allah, not Baal, not Buddha or Krishna. Yahweh is the Father, and when he is ready, he will send his Son to come and get his bride, the church. Do not, my brothers and sisters, accept any other false gods or those who try to stand up for them. As Jesus said in Mark 13:5, "Watch out that no one deceives you." St. Paul put it this way in Ephesians 6:12. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." This is uncomfortable to hear. But in closing, I'd like to leave you with some hopeful words that Jesus closed with. He said, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Be on guard. Be alert. Pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.